So this is our devotional service, and of course, as the elders know, this is the most favored devotional service you can receive as an elder, because you don't do any of the work. The children's Bible class and the committee have put a lot of effort into this afternoon, and so they have done the real work, and we look forward to that. If you had a playbill for today's performance, you would have seen the name Amanda Hosu there as the host, and unfortunately she is ill today, but Sister Elia Krishan has graciously filled in and is going to do an admirable job in her role today. So what we'd like to start with is some music, and we are going to start with Jack Martiri on the piano playing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Jack. And now we'll be favored by Daniel Beevil on the piano playing O Holy Night. By the way, have you noticed the beards that we've got going on over here? Daniel. Well, now the children's Bible class will come out and perform a special presentation for you. This is based on their studies for the year, which are on God's grand plan of the ages. And so you will see references to the chart, and you'll see some references to their memory scriptures that they've worked on all year. And so now they will come out and perform for us 144 minutes.
Welcome to tonight's broadcast of 144 minutes. Tonight we are going to review what the Bible class was studying in 2019. They did a great job of learning God's grand plan of salvation and the famous chart of the ages. We think this will be a blessing for our listeners who have recently been raised from the dead. Tonight's guests will be the ancient worthies. Let's welcome our first guest, the worthy Abel. Abel, thank you for being here. Can you tell us how your life showed that Jesus was to suffer for us?
Well, after Mom and Dad left the Garden of Eden, the family and I really suffered a lot. We really had to work hard to feed ourselves, especially as the family grew so rapidly. I raised animals. We used the wool for clothing and enjoyed the milk. At harvest time, I offered a lamb to the Lord. Little did I know that lamb represents something much greater. My brother Cain was a gardener. He and his sons finally learned how to get a decent amount of food. He also offered a sacrifice from the vegetables he had grown. But God did not accept his sacrifice. He was sad, angry, and jealous. When my brother killed me, I felt some physical pain. But the worst part was seeing how angry Ian was and how he hated me. Anyway, I did not understand back then that the little lamb I had sacrificed to God represented the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Dad was perfect. He and Mom enjoyed the perfection of Eden for about 2 years before the serpent deceived Mom. Dad knew this was a deception, but unfortunately chose to stay with Mom and act in disobedience to God, even though he knew the consequences.
And so, mankind fell from the plane of human perfection to the plane of sin and degradation.
Exactly. But when he's finally raised from the grave, he'll be so excited to learn that there was a second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord, who took Dad's place in the grave for a ransom us all.
Thank you, Abel. And what scripture did the children learn to prove this point?
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Now let's welcome our next guest. Come on out, Noah. Welcome. Could you share with us what it was like to live in the world that was?
Thank you. Well, it was terrible. When I was young, I talked to Grandfather Methuselah a lot. He knew so much more about when the world was perfect. Grandfather Adam tried to warn Grandfather Methuselah and all the other grandfathers and their children to listen to God. But things got worse. The family finally didn't even know God at all. Not only that, but they were violent, fighting, and even killing each other. My heart was so sad. My wife's sons and their wives and I tried to stay separate as much as we possibly could.
What about the fallen angels?
Oh my, yes. When they saw how horrible things were getting, they thought they could do something about it. So they pretended to be like humans and marry some of my cousins and sisters and nieces. They were huge and even more violent than the rest of them.
So how did the Lord use you and your family to point us to Jesus Christ?
Well, when I was several hundred years old, the Lord told me to build an enormous boat. He said he was going to destroy everything on earth because it had become so evil. So my family and I built an ark. When I was 600, God directed the animals to come, and he shut us safely inside. Then we had the worst weather you could ever imagine. The earth quaked, and water gushed up from the inside of the earth. It was terrifying. We were on our knees praying for strength and also thanking him for saving us. Now, from the standpoint of the kingdom, we look back and realize that the Lord gave us an opportunity to participate in the illustration of the end of the age, a huge transition from the gospel age to millennium.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall always the coming of Son of Man.
For our next guest, let's welcome Abraham.
Now that I'm here, I have a lot to share. When I was in the patriarchal age, God asked me to leave my home and go to a land I didn't even know anything about. It actually turned out to be quite a journey. I was promised that my seed would bless all the families of the earth, which sounded pretty strange because I had no children at the time. I did not understand, but in faith I believed. Many years passed, and it wasn't until my wife, Sarah, was 90 years old did God promise that she would give me a son. In faith I believed, and it was so. Then, when my precious son Isaac was just a young man, God told me to offer him as a sacrifice. God did not understand, and I knew my beloved Sarah would not understand either. But faith had kept me safe so far, and God has always been faithful to me. So, I believed and started the hardest journey of my life with my son, the wood, the fire, but no animal for the sacrifice. Now that I'm alive again, I understand everything. I had to leave my old, small inheritance in order to inherit this beautiful land of milk and honey. God read my heart and willingness to serve him no matter what the cost. He knew it personally, for he himself would pay that cost with the life of his only beloved son. However, he allowed his... God was merciful to me and spared the life of my son at the time. However, he allowed his own son, Jesus, to pay the ultimate cost for everyone. Now that I can finally see the end result of these experiences, I am so thankful that God used me and my family to illustrate his plan so beautifully.
Our next guest will be Joseph. Joseph, tell us all about your life during the end of the patriarchal age and at the beginning of the Jewish age.
Oh, there was so much I didn't understand at the time, just like my great-grandfather Abraham. I guess you'd say we have a big family, 12 brothers all together. And by the way, we were the beginning of the nation of Israel. I was my father's favorite. I tried to get along with my older brothers, but I guess it didn't help when I had dreams that showed that I would one day rise to power over them. How they hated me. I just didn't understand. Most of them wanted to kill me, but fortunately for me, they decided to sell me into slavery instead. I was only a teenager, and I missed my father and my little brother Benjamin. I thought things were going to be okay because I was assigned to be a slave of the house of Potiphar. Over time, I got promoted right to the top. Then his wife accused me for doing something terrible, and Potiphar had no choice but to put me in prison. Again, I didn't understand. From Potiphar's house to Pharaoh's prison, it was awful. After a while, the jailer trusted me, and I was trusted to take care of the things there. Pharaoh's baker and butler were also put in prison, and they had dreams that confused them. God helped me to interpret their dreams when the butler was released. I told him to remember me to Pharaoh, but no, the butler forgot all about me for another 2 years. I really didn't understand. Then Pharaoh had a dream he needed help interpreting. Finally, the butler told him about me. So they brought me to the royal court. Of course, the Lord helped me. You all know the story about the famine, saving the grain, my father finally coming to Egypt, and being able to be forgiven and reunited with my brothers. From Pharaoh's prison to Pharaoh's right hand, even prosperity, I didn't truly understand. I knew God had directed my whole life, not only my family, but many other people as well. It wasn't until I was raised from the grave that I finally understood, and I am so joyful and humble that my whole life has been directed to foreshadow our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, I know what it's like to be betrayed by my brethren.
That's wonderful, Joseph. Thank you for sharing with us. I'm sure our viewers will learn a lot about the plan of our Heavenly Father, especially the ones who are newly raised from the grave.
And the way, 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 and the
Our next guest will be Moses. We are excited to hear about how your life taught us something about Jesus and his kingdom role.
I understand you're talking to us about our lives and how they prepared the whole world for the Messiah. I think I can add something to this discussion. After all, God had me prophesy that a prophet like me would be raised up. I really had my hands full with my dear Israelites and all their problems and arguments. Imagine my delight to learn who Jesus is. He and the church are handling all the problems the world is having trying to get up the highway of holiness. And they are giving individual attention to each of them, standing between God and men. We were both called mediators, except they did a poor job compared to him. What a wonderful mediator we have now. If any of your viewers want to hear all about the plagues upon Egypt, as well as the adventures and experiences we had wandering around the Negev, call Restitution 7 on your devices. And we'll be glad to share first-hand accounts, which you can add to your scripture studies. But let me just say, I am so happy to finally be in the promised land, my heart's desire.
I know that you went through a great deal. Thank you for your service to Israel. The children learned a scripture about the mediator that you referred to. Next two guests shall be quite a blessing. Welcome Boaz and Ruth.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you. Please share with us your connection to Jesus Christ.
Well, my wife Ruth was a Moabite. My distant relative Naomi had to go to Moab with her husband when there was a famine in the land. Both of her sons got married to women of Moab, but when all three of their husbands died, Naomi decided to go back to Israel, where she belonged. One of her daughters-in-law, Orpah, stayed in Moab. But, well, you tell them what you said, Naomi, dear.
Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.
How beautiful.
Yes, indeed. When they came back to Israel, they had no man to help them, so Naomi told Ruth to glean in my fields. It was necessary for a relative to marry Ruth to keep her husband's name alive. I was so happy when I learned that her first husband had been my relative and I could marry her. It wasn't until we were resurrected that I learned that my and Ruth's lives teach about Jesus and his church.
That was fascinating. Thanks for sharing your story. I'm sure our next guest will also be wonderful. Help me to welcome Jonas.
Do I have a whale of a tail for you?
Sounds a little fishy to me.
I get that a lot. Well, I wasn't really fond of those nasty Ninevites, but that's exactly where God wanted me to go. I just couldn't wrap my mind around that, so I boarded a ship heading to Tarshish, where I thought God wouldn't notice me. Pretty dumb, huh? So he sent this storm. What a doozy. Lightning, thunder, wind, and waves. The sailors were terrified, and they were all praying to their gods to save them. They drew straws to see who was to blame, and of course, it was me.
So what did you do?
Well, I didn't want anyone else to die because of me, so I told them to toss me into the sea. They were good folks, and they didn't want to, but they had no choice. Incredibly, God had this huge fish come along and swallow me whole. I was absolutely sure that was the end of me, but nope, it was dark in the belly, hot, and scary. But it got me to pray to God and ask him to forgive me for trying to avoid my duties. After the fish swam to shore and spat me out I went to Nineveh, and this part is amazing too, they listened and repented, and just like me, they were forgiven. Of course, I had no idea that that had anything to do with the Messiah. Just like I was in that fish for 3 days and nights, so Jesus was in the earth 3 days and nights, and just like I repented, the human race is repenting their sins.
Well, that brings us to our final guest for this program. Let's recognize the greatest ancient worthy of them all, John the Baptist.
I'm just a servant of God like all the rest of you. My beloved cousin Jesus was a focus of my adult life. Our mothers told us a plan of God, and with joy, we did our best to live up to it. When I say did our best, I mean I did my best. Jesus was the best. I wandered around living humbly, trying to prepare our people's hearts for him. Some responded to my message and some did not. Before Jesus died on the cross, I was beheaded. I didn't really know how Jesus' life played out until I came back from the grave. To have been the one who baptized our Lord was such an honor. I still can't fully grasp how I loved him as my cousin and how I love him even more as my Lord and King. He paid the ransom and opened the way for the church class and the gospel age. The gospel age ended in the harvest of that age when the church class was completed.
God's plan is certainly amazing, isn't it? What a grand plan of the ages. Let's bring all our guests back out one more time as we are now in the millennial age.
The center of everything is Jesus. He was the only beloved son of his father in the same way that Isaac was my only beloved son. He was loved and cherished more than anyone or anything else. His father had a plan so all of his human creation could live forever. God permitted Abel's father, Adam, to sin, and then his children suffered and died. Throughout the first two dispensations, God allowed the angels and then human governments to try to restore man to the perfection lost in Eden. Nothing worked until God's most treasured son, Jesus, came to earth and gave his life as a ransom for all of mankind.
After resurrecting Jesus to the divine nature, God began to prepare a bride for his son. Like my beautiful wife, Ruth, his bride was taken from the Gentiles. She was willing to leave her home, family, and friends for a new life and a new land. God prepared Jesus' bride through many hardships, and many showed themselves unworthy of the blessing. But those who remained faithful were finally joined in heavenly marriage to their heavenly bridegroom, Jesus.
Just as our life's comforted millions and taught them about God's plans, so the bride of Christ now shares her experiences to uplift, instruct, and comfort all those newly resurrected children of Adam. We look forward to the ages to come after the whole world of mankind is raised to the full standing before God.
And now all of mankind is learning to obey with, what's the magic word? And they, as the ancient worthies, are working with the church and Jesus, the great high priest, to help them walk up the highway of holiness.
Yeah.
Thank you, ancient worthies. We hardly recognized you. That was a terrific production. Thank you to the committee and to all the children for their hard work on that. We're now going to be favored with some more music, and Sebastian and Justin are going to play for us Angels in the Realm of Glory. Brethren, let's sing together in closing hymn 345, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Hymn 345, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And you'll have to use your hymn books, I think, right? Oh, you've got the words on the screen. Brother Chris does have the words for us. Welcome back.
It came upon
Brethren, thanks for being here today in this wonderful day where we had plenty of food and fellowship, spiritual and temporal. We ask that the Lord would be with us for the remainder of the day and to lead us to the throne of grace. Brother Joe Knapp will close our day in prayer.
Our most gracious and loving Holy Father, with most grateful hearts we come before you for all the blessings we've received today in this gathering. We thank you especially for what the children just presented in their part and for the music that's been played. It's amazing how kind you are to us, and in our greatest time of need, you provide the greatest help. It's always been that way, and we anticipate it will always be so. We love you for your love for us, for having given your Son for us, and for creating the future that will be a blessing to all of mankind. We pray for all your children over all the earth, especially those who are going through severe trials right now, that you would help them to overcome in them and be found pleasing to you. And this all we pray, Father, for the good of all your children, and especially for your own glory throughout eternity. Amen.